right, this is Pure Decking, show number 419 for Thursday, December, I don't know, what the hell is today? December the 17th, working from home, the days are all blurring together. I had to double check the year again earlier. 2020,
what
there's
is
so much
a day?
Stuff that... Say what?
What is a day?
I don't know anymore. You look out the window, you know, you see the big gray
room.
Great
big ball of fire in the sky.
No,
is shit on fire,
that.
Yo?
I haven't
yeah,
seen that
still
in
2020.
I haven't seen the sky in like a week. It's been gray. I've seen the infinite. It is blue.
Did the air raid siren start when the sun goes down?
This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and telling atheists to have a Merry Christmas. I'm Morps. Tonight, we have Are You. What is up, Are You?
So much. It is extremely hot. As Gretchen would say, hot.
We have Madman.
Hola. I'll try to drink more.
The BSV.
Hello.
Oh, we forgot something with BSV.
I feel better now.
Excellent. And Fox.
Hello.
Oh, we forgot something for Fox as well.
No, 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 sorry.
It's like my best friend's right here with us.
Except he's not. He's at home playing house.
Unfortunately,
so he's been addicted to Vicodin and abuses his coworkers.
Madman stole my joke. Damn it.
Yeah, the sexual harassment that he's getting from working from home, though, is...
it's most unwanted. Most unwanted. Mostly happens at night. Mostly.
Mostly. I don't know. Toshi is a devious fiend.
Wait, isn't
condolences
is that the dog?
To...
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Dear.
Condolences to all the Boba Fett fans out there as the actor who played the original Boba Fett has passed on.
Oh.
Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck.
And if anybody's wondering, I'm playing with new soundboard software, which is why I'm messing with it so much. Anyways.
And also because fuck you, that's why.
I mean, I could just start playing music again. But anyways, kind of ended up screwing up the end of year schedule because I was going to do the last show of the year last week. But then got pulled into shit at work and couldn't make the show. And then shit's actually happening that's worth talking about. So, and I just pasted the wrong fucking link.
Thank God, the tits on that woman.
The woman, look at the horse.
I didn't even notice the horse.
Well, keep looking. You'll see the bear dancing in the background. But that's not the right link. There we go. That's the correct line.
I have the fear.
The horse's pronouns are Z and Zer.
I didn't ask. I mean, you're in the photo, Madman, so, I mean, you could tell us.
You would know.
Like, Morps, is that your finger on the camera lens?
Yeah, but the weirdest shit is they didn't make us take it down off Pinterest yet, so.
Yet. That's because it's so bizarre they think it's a modern art piece.
I thought that was because of the price tag we put underneath it.
Subscribe to our OnlyFans.
Oh, God, that'd be a terrible OnlyFans, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Only imagine what kind of shit would get posted on there.
8 billion people on the planet has got to meet somebody's fetish.
Are there troll OnlyFans accounts? Because I feel like that should be a thing. Like you go on sites, you advertise it with, you know, random pictures of chicks you get off the internet like a spammer, and you go in there and it's nothing but, like, I don't know, fat guys or horrible photos that are badly photoshopped or shit that's been drawn in MS Paint. You know, you're only going to get your payment out of them once.
You pull your panties down off of somebody else's video, all of a sudden it just flashes a tub girl or goatee. Or...
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I feel like troll Pornhub, or not Pornhub, what would you say, OnlyFans account should
but
be
also,
a thing.
Yes. If you get on Pornhub, you got to get verified now, apparently.
Yeah. Well, they had to
delete
a whole
bunch. Their verification process isn't that difficult.
They had to delete a whole bunch of videos, though, because of that.
Millions.
I mean, I don't exactly know what they're
lost.
Well, probably, but I'm wondering how their business model works that they can do that and not just shut down.
Well, it was MasterCard and just stopped processing any payments for them.
Well, isn't MasterCard the same ones that pressured Patreon and some other sites to drop people based on politics?
Probably.
Yeah. So.
But the coomers will coom. They will find a way.
I kind of feel like we should have a side project of setting up troll OnlyFans accounts and see how much money we can get doing that shit.
You're only going to get
the first payment before they cancel it, right? But who cares? You've got your $5 at that point. So.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm just going to get my old Star Wars figures.
If you're going to be doing this, you don't use Star Wars figures. Well, you can use Star Wars.
It might be a copyright
problem.
You
need to use the old furry-haired troll dolls.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, dude. If you use Cabbage Patch Kids, is that a crime?
Morally, yes. Legally, I don't know.
Well, it depends. How old is the Cabbage Patch doll you're using? Did you get it from a thrift store? So it's like at least 20 years plus.
Didn't they come with a certificate? If you find one that still has the certificate with a date,
oh, there you go.
They came with birth certificates.
This one is older than I am.
That's just playing right into your hentai lolly shit, isn't it?
It's off to hell we go.
And I was just thinking of scamming people by selling my bath water instead of some hot chicks.
There's got a video here of the nurse who took the Wu Flu vaccine and then passed out on camera.
Apparently, it's quite painful.
Hmm.
Like, from what I understand, they're worried about people coming back to take the second dose because apparently the current version they're putting out really kicks your ass. So.
I did love the conspiracy theories around there. Oh, they're not even using real needles because they are using the new safety needle, the one that retracts after use. Like, see, there's not even a needle at the end.
Well, I thought there was a video where somebody got jabbed with a needle, but there was nothing in the syringe. And that,
I don't know.
That's calling an embolism waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it was, like, already depressed. Like, they had used it and then fucked up and used the same one again.
Okay. I'm like, that's murder. Please say it's on video. That dude needs to go to prison.
So what you're saying is the cheap syringes I got off Amazon.
Watch how you use them.
Well, these are actually dull because I use them for solder flux, but... I have a Dremel. Sharpening them wouldn't be difficult. I suppose we should go talk about the FireEye thing.
Yep. I don't know nearly enough about it, but I understand it did cause some issues.
Right. So it's interesting because the story started with FireEye putting out that several of their tools had been compromised. And they had to burn them, quote unquote. So they told everybody what to patch, basically. Where I work, we're a customer of FireEye. So we got a big ass email from them of, here's all the shit that you should fix across your fleet because all of our tools that exploit this just got stolen. And to their credit, they announced it. But here's the thing, it turns out that was the SolarWinds breach. That's how they got into FireEye, was through SolarWinds.
Ah.
Because FireEye is an incident response company, what did they do? They responded to the incident. And there's a handful of suspicions floating around. I don't think they actually say it in the FireEye research, but from who I talked with and a few other things like that, they fucked up by getting into FireEye because FireEye has basically advertised that this shit's going on and made a big deal out of it. And they're... Oh, it's probably Russian government-backed, but at least that's the scuttlebutt that's floating around. I haven't seen anything definitive on that, but they're pretty sure it's one of the APT groups they track out of Russia. I guess technically that doesn't have to be the Russian government, but it most likely is. So, whatever. Anyways, I've got the FireEye threat research post here. They put it up on the 13th. So their bullet points are, they have discovered a global intrusion campaign. They are tracking the actors behind the campaign as UNC2452. So that's just where they've put a ticket number on this group. So anytime they can correlate, they're going to say it's this group. And then if they ever figure out who the group is, they can actually identify it. FireEye discovered a supply chain attack, Trojanizing SolarWinds Orion business software updates in order to distribute the malware they're calling Sunburst. The attacker's post-compromised activity leverages multiple techniques to evade detection and obscure their activity, which is why they, you know, it's the after-compromise shit that they're using to try to do attribution. That's why they're saying they think it's government-backed and probably Russian. The campaign is widespread, affecting public and private organizations around the world. FireEye is releasing signatures to detect the threat. They are found on their public GitHub. Their products and services can help to, yeah. You know, obviously, they want to sell you their product while they're at it. FireEye has uncovered a widespread campaign. They are tracking the actors behind the campaign, gaining access to numerous public and private organizations around the world. They gained access to victims via Trojanized updates to SolarWinds Orion IT monitoring and management software. The campaign may have begun as early as spring 2020 and is currently ongoing. Post-compromised activity following the supply chain compromises included lateral movement and data theft. The campaign is the work of a highly skilled actor, and the operation was conducted with significant operational secrecy or security. So, what are we posting here? Are you?
Just relating to previous conversation. Yes, that syringe is definitely empty.
Oh yeah.
I got curious when you saw. I'm like, I got to see this if it's real.
Yeah, it looks.
It's definitely
empty.
Real. It is completely empty.
And I'm certain. I'm wondering if that nurse realize they fucked up and they're like, oh, you know, I don't get that. I suppose I should throw the link in. I'll throw that link in the closing shot, the thoughts part of the show notes, just so we have it. And I'll throw it in the RC.
You can't give me something like that before the show and then not expect me to find it.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he's tapping on the plunger a couple times, like, yeah. Fuck.
And then he draws it back a little bit and then pushes it back in. I'm like, Jesus Christ, man. I hope that dude didn't get a fucking bubble.
I hope he did. I hope whoever he jabbed that needle with before when it had something in it didn't have an infection. It's like, well, if you didn't have COVID before, you do
Everyone's
now.
Everyone's got AIDS. AIDS.
Well, you won't die of the Wu flu, but...
So...
Duo, how do you feel about different types of hemorrhagic fevers? It seems this guy was in Africa recently.
Oh. Oh, no.
Good news, 50% survival rate.
SolarWinds Orion Core Business Layer.dll is a SolarWinds digitally signed component of the Orion software framework that contains a backdoor that communicates via HTTP to third-party servers. FireEye is tracking the Trojanized version of the plugin as Sunburst. After an initial dormant period of up to 2 weeks, it retrieves and executes commands called jobs that include the ability to transfer files, execute files, profile the system, reboot the machine, disables system services. The malware masquerades its network traffic as Orion Improvement Program protocol and stores reconnaissance results within legitimate plugin configuration files, allowing it to blend in with legitimate SolarWinds activity. The backdoor uses multiple obfuscated block lists to identify forensics and antivirus tools running as processes, services, and drivers. This sucks, because tracking this shit down is always a pain in the ass. And, so I guess to summarize here, because I don't know that this article has explained it very well, what's actually happened is SolarWinds is a very common and very popular suite of network management tools, and they give a lot of them away for free so that a lot of IT people already know how to use them. So it's not uncommon for people to go ahead and license their tooling and use it, because a lot of times they're already familiar with it because it's in a lot of networks. And this attacker got into the automatic update server for SolarWinds. Now, there's a rumor floating around that apparently the password to this server was something like SolarWinds123. You know, Q Spaceballs, the same combination for my luggage joke. But
you beat me to it.
I haven't seen a lot of detail on that. Like, was that public on the internet with that password? Because if so, how did it take this long? I mean, Or was that an internal password and they just assumed nobody from the internet would ever get to touch that server? I've seen that one happen a couple of times where it's like, oh, that server's internal. Nobody's ever going to be able to see that or get in on that. What about that compromised workstation over there? Well, fuck. It's like,
surprise.
You think we could segment the network or something? It's like, ah, that sounds expensive. But it would solve a lot of your security. Yeah, that's expensive and not important. No, it's pretty important. No, we're not going to do it. Great.
Not in the budget this year. Come back later. I need a new Lamborghini.
Surprisingly, Fox.
You know where I work, too.
It wasn't a Lamborghini. It was Microsoft Surface tablets for the management team.
Oh, yeah, we tried that a couple of years ago.
So it's like that way we knew who the important people in the company were because they had Surface tablets instead of Dell laptops.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's where the pay for pornography went.
Yeah, they don't bother trying to search around in front of the free shit. They just pay for it because it's easier.
Exactly.
Oh, the stories I could tell about that place. Actually, has it been long enough? I mean, the company doesn't.
How long is your NDA agreement?
Well, technically, that company doesn't exist anymore. And my NDA was with a new company.
I'd err on the side of no.
Okay, fair enough. Back to this article. Yeah,
until you were in another job for 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to change industries either. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't be talking about the inside of the industry while you're expecting to maintain a career in said industry.
Well, let's just say that they were playing shenanigans to be able to order hardware and approve their own purchases. The structure was you could order hardware as long as it was approved by your. Either your immediate manager or, in certain cases, if your manager wasn't high enough up the totem pole, your reporting VP. So this guy would tell one of the VPs that reported to him what to order, and then he would approve it. That's probably a fairly common corporate game, but that's where, like, half the IT budget went. And then you had people out in the cube farms that were using, you know, 8- and 10-year-old desktops.
Sounds about right.
To the point that when the company was sold, they went back and, ooh, I probably can't talk about that one.
Yeah, I just know.
I just realized lawsuits were involved in that one and contracts. So it's like.
Yeah.
So SolarWinds.
SolarWinds. Yeah. No, I probably can't tell that story. basically, they got some money back. How about that? Because they lied on the contract about the age of some of those machines.
Better the machines than the workers.
That's Hello.
Toasty!
Anyways, multiple Trojanize updates were digitally signed for March through May of 2020 and posted to the SolarWinds update website, including... Okay, they've got a URL there that goes to SolarWinds update catalog. The Trojanized update file is a... this is the nightmare scenario for anybody running enterprise-class software, is that your upstream vendor... with automatic updates, gets compromised and pushes the malware out to your network through no fault of your own. You know, this is the nightmare scenario. Everyone always thought it was going to be Microsoft's automatic updates, but so far it's been SolarWinds. Although I think a few AV vendors have come close a few times. The Trojanized update file is a standard Windows installer patch that includes compressed resources associated with the updates, the Trojanized DLL component. Once the update is installed, the malicious DLL will be loaded by legitimate SolarWinds Business Layer host exe. So I guess to explain this article a little bit, because it goes into a lot of detail, this is a technical write-up of the attack and vulnerability and how they're tracking it. This is kind of intended for... people in IT to read so that they could go write detections and look for shit in their own network. So I'm kind of jumping around and skimming a little bit. But FireEye has put up some YARA rules on their GitHub. They've got some documented places where you can detect some of these attacks. And what this malware was doing was basically full-on backdoor, pulling files out and doing command and control. And several IPs... You know, they've got some list of some Command and Control IPs here and a few of the things that the thing was doing. So, you know, if you want to read through and see some information on this SolarWinds hack, this is a good article to read, this FireEye write-up. And, I mean, you know, FireEye losing some of its tools isn't really that big of a deal. They're developing... Everyone in this industry is making new tools all the time, and half of them are open source anyways. So, you know, them having to publish, hey, we were using this, go patch your shit, that happens. But this SolarWinds thing is a nightmare scenario because you might be rooting things out of your network for a very long time because of shit like this. Especially smaller shops that probably grabbed free stuff from SolarWinds, but they're not running the really expensive shit like HX from FireEye or any of the other guys doing...
Or a small shop where, like, the old IT guy grabbed some of this stuff, threw it on a server, and...
And nobody remembers that it's there.
Yep.
Or somebody's done a proof of concept with it, and the help desk was using the freebie version for a few years. Your help desk changes out, and nobody knows that it's that agent is still floating around. Yep. Mm-hmm. No, that hasn't been a kick in the balls lately. Why do you ask?
Good times.
This is why you should have your network mapped?
You should have your network mapped. You should have a good document of what all is running on it, and you ought to be running a software inventory. But all that shit takes time and isn't seen as a moneymaker. And you know, people don't really think it's all that important until it is. And then it's usually, well, why did you all let this happen? And it's like, well,
that's IT in a nutshell, though.
You know, well, we didn't let it happen. You did when you didn't give us the budget to do all this shit we were asking you about last year. Yeah, well, that didn't sound very important. This is important. Why'd you all let this happen? Yeah, that's the way those conversations always go.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
well,
yeah.
Because your wife was blowing me at the time, sir, and I thought I could do my job or I could let her do that thing at the time.
I don't think.
I mean, either way, I'm getting fired, so I've just got to say some shit.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I know I'm not the only one who has to deal with this. Fox, have you seen any bullshit from this yet?
Got it. I got the email alert in my inbox yesterday or today. Just kind of pointing it out, and I know we have utilized some SolarWinds technology throughout the years. I know Sarge's done a lot of vulnerability and pen testing with stuff like that. And
yeah.
So, like, I want to say we're doing all right, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's the fun part, is it's been going on long enough, you might not know. And the best part is, especially after some of the other, you know, stuff going around in the past couple of years, you might have done all your profiling with shit like this in place. So you think that it's normal.
Mm.
Although my personal favorite is all your sysadmins who get tired of doing security rules, so they convince the firewall guy to just let their server subnet contact the internet free, scot-free, without requiring...
No, Sard beats people for that.
Yeah, I've caught him doing it a couple of times. Our current network guys don't do it, but... We've had some in the past that would just set up subnets that way, and then when we go to fix it, well, you can't make that change. That's not an authorized change. Well, they did something they shouldn't have done in the first place, and then it becomes a process fight to undo the damage. So it's not fun. Corporate IT sucks. I'm just going to throw this out. For anybody who wants future, it pays okay, and you'll have job security, but corporate IT sucks, no matter what side of it you're on. Because they're so afraid of change and so afraid of it, they wrap everything up in process. You get audited up to the butt and everything. And you have to... I spend more time writing up documents to tell people how to do shit than to actually get to do things myself anymore.
You're not selling the career, Morps.
Oh,
just saying.
Is that what I'm supposed to be doing? I thought I was trying to be honest.
I'd say the only people I've never seen ever, even when they're having the worst day of their life, they're always fucking happy, plant machinery operators. You'll never see one that's unhappy. They're always
happy.
Yeah, because
any of the ones that are unhappy, they just step off the catwalk.
Yeah, if you're looking for a career, there you go. Become a become a machine operator. You'll always be happy.
Well, when you get the muscle memory down for working that machine to where you don't really have to think about what you're doing anymore, you just throw the headphones on and just daydream all day long while doing whatever. Yep. Just hope you don't lose a hand.
I've never seen an unhappy one, man.
I have. I have, but that guy just lost his hand in a plastic molding machine, so.
I'm talking about the machinery, like actual driving around on site, cleaning up, you know, moving boulders, stuff like that, not sitting in a factory.
Oh, I misunderstood you. Okay, yeah. Yeah, no, I was talking about one of the guys who was changing out a blow mold in one of those giant presses, and they accidentally closed the press on his hand.
That's mind-crushing work. I'm talking about driving around a Bobcat or a Baco or something like that, you know. Those dudes love what they do. So if you don't feel like going into IT, do that.
Yeah, when you hear these people all saying learn to code, it's like you're
code's not even
dimming people to a life of, you know, living in a pit. I have gotten multiple people calling that room in the office the code pit now.
Wasn't that the 90s? Everyone worked in a code pit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
before
they still
really
are.
Knew.
Oh, we got everyone adjustable desks, so you can stand up whenever you want. But they're laid out like
you cannot
desks.
Leave your cubicle, but you may stand.
Yeah, you don't. they're laid out like school desks. They're not cubes. It's not a cube farm. I mean, it's like elementary school in that room, but they keep the lights off because the coders like it that way. And they've got their Harry Potter and their Mass Effect decorations up on the wall. It's a fucking pit.
Oh, really? Really? They've got Harry Potter and Mass Effect up on the wall?
A few other things like that, too, but yeah.
They
have the Nerf gun up on the wall, but no darts for it, and they're not allowed to actually shoot it at anybody. So, you know, but they've got it.
We have Nerf wars.
We used to.
I was gonna say, man, that's the only way to de-stress in an office.
We used to, but some people decided that AR-15 springs would work better in their Nerf gun and complained. So.
There's always one putting thumbtacks in the end of them.
Yeah, we had that guy and.
We didn't have anybody do that, but we did have somebody make one of those disc shooters that would actually knock you over. So that was actually good times. For a while, they were doing rubber band fights, but instead of regular rubber bands, they were those giant ones that you put around a file.
Yeah.
So they would do those. That, you know, I mean, hell, I got nailed in the eye with that one time, and, you know, the dude felt bad, and he thought I was going to kick his ass, but that was, you know. I just called him. I just cursed at him, and that was the end of it. But they thought I was going to do something more than that. That was the end of it. It's like, no, I said what I had to say. I'm done. So what? What'd you say? Are you?
It's all part of the game, dude. Losing an eye.
I didn't lose the eye. It just hurt. So.
Anyway, moving next story.
Yeah. What the fuck situations do happen in the office every once in a while, but. Yeah. That's the sad part, is sitting there knowing how to fix all this stuff and just not being able to do it for stupid reasons. I've actually been told not to fix things for the other teams anymore. It's like, but they're not going to do it.
And it's going to become my problem.
Well, that's what the argument is now. Let it wait till it becomes your problem and then just go, you know, nail them in the review and the risk. And it's like, but
you don't understand how this works.
It's like, if I just fixed it, it would go away and we could move on with life and do something more interesting. But no, they want me chasing agents all day long and making sure every system has a fucking agent, you know, because we can't run a script across the fleet or any bullshit.
All right, Neo, settle down. I need more scotch. Starting with the next story.
Next story is from CNBC.com. Facebook slams Apple's privacy change, suggesting it will kill free apps. The day after launching an attack on Apple's upcoming privacy change, Facebook is running another ad prompting consumers to consider whether they would pay for apps that are currently free. Facebook on Wednesday ran newspaper ads, published in a new website, and ran blog posts outlining its arguments against Apple's privacy change, which it claims, quote, threatens the personalized ads that millions of small businesses rely on to find and reach customers. No, Facebook, that you rely on. It's not small businesses. You've put most of the small businesses out between you and Google. It's and Amazon. It's you.
Well, you see, they got rid of all the small businesses, so now technically they are the small business.
Well, you know, when you're talking comparatively. I mean, if we're comparing them to, like, you know, Deutsche Bank and, you know, Disney.
When all businesses are small, no one will be.
Apple will soon be making a change to settings on users' iPhones in the name of privacy, and it will fundamentally change the way mobile advertising works on those devices. It will take a privacy option that was previously buried deep in users' phones and put it front and center when they open an app. It's expected to dramatically impact the ability of advertisers to target ads the way they have been, since people are not likely to opt in. It's like, what? You're giving people an option? What's wrong with you? You monster! Facebook has been outspoken about the change since it was announced in June, accusing Apple of moving the free ad-supported internet into paid apps and services where Apple can take its 30% cut. Also, yes, but I still prefer fucking over Facebook more, because Apple's going for the old-fashioned just getting paid, whereas Facebook is still doing this subversive bullshit, you know? So, let's see. A news Facebook ad running in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the Washington Post on Thursday took a different tack, suggesting content makers will have to turn to subscriptions to replace lost ad revenue and leaving customers to have to pay for what was once free. Quote, take your favorite cooking sites or sports blogs, the ad said. Most are free because they show advertisements. Apple's change will limit their ability to run personalized ads to make ends meet. Many will have to start charging you subscription fees or adding more in-app purchases. Fucker, have you seen the app stores? They're covered in in-app purchases, or worse, the subscription ones. My favorite are the ones that used to be fucking free, or you pay for them once, like, say, Duet Display, that they then go in and turn off half the options and let you pay $50 a year. Fuck you!
That's a real nice application you're running there. Sure, it would be a shame if someone were to charge for it.
Yeah. Making the internet much more expensive and reducing high-quality free content. You know, and then Google enters the
ring. This sounds like the exact same bullshit that they pull every time, like, a new, you know, medium for storing, I don't know, take your pick, audio, video, anything like that. Like,
yeah, I mean, they made the same argument when the VHR came out.
Yeah.
So VHS. Anyone remember a BBS where people with similar interests got together and discussed shit on the internet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember pissing off my parents running a war dialer to find them. I mean,
I'm thinking, let's say I'm a fat kid that likes cooking. There are going to be other fat kids out there that like cooking, and we can switch out our recipes for free. So it might not be on Pinterest. It's on badmansfatass.com.
You should check and see if that domain's registered.
One more.
And if it's not, you should buy that domain. I don't know what you'd put on there, but it's probably just going to be a twerking video of you, so...
Could be Madman's Badass. I mean, what else could you put on something?
Yeah,
obviously named that.
I mean, there you go.
I mean, if you go there, you asked for it.
I mean, you're not wrong.
I'm just checking with my registrar. Let's see. What's going on here?
Show goes on pause while everyone quickly finds everything and purchases domain.
Fuck it.
I was going to say I came back to a dead air. I'm like, what the fuck?
Well, we're going to register Madman's fat ass, but my registrar account's being goofy. And either I have changed the password and forgotten it, or I'm going to have to reset it or something. So. It's all right. I don't need to really register that domain. I've registered other funny domains and then come to regret it 2 years later. It's like, why am I paying for this?
Never know what's going to become popular. It was funny
at the time.
When Madman's bathwater takes off, you're going to want that fat ass domain.
Oh. I wonder if I could... No, I'm not... I'm not going to do it.
I'm just going to nose down and call it a night.
We have to make this a men's rights movement thing.
Oh, God.
Look at all these chicks. These simps are doing. Get us have to get in this, too. Buy my bathwater.
I had a really funny idea earlier, and I'm not going to. I'll tell you after the show because we might do this shit. So, anyways.
2% of Madman's bathwater goes to fucking MGTOW organizations. Buy yours today.
Wednesday's ad introduced a new page on Facebook for Business, which includes videos of interviews from business owners speaking out against the ad change. It also includes, I wonder how much Facebook paid them for that. It also includes explanations of what will happen in a, quote, toolkit to make posts with the hashtag #SpeakUpForSmall to talk about the change. Does anybody really believe that Facebook gives a flying fuck about a small business? They're looking at their own business model and going, oh, fuck. I mean, really? I mean, they're trying to mask this.
The Zuckerberg has altered the numbers. Pray he does not alter them further.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Speaking of big tech getting dumb, this one's from Washington Post. This is just going to be fun to watch. Amazon warehouse workers in Alabama allowed to vote on unionization NLRB rules.
Allowed to vote. Allowed to vote.
Wow.
Let that sink in. Allowed to vote.
The National Labor Relations Board has determined that a union pushing to represent Amazon warehouse workers in Alabama has enough support to hold an election, dealing the e-commerce giant a second defeat in what is emerging as a major labor battle at one of America's largest employers. Amazon argued in filings that the size of the proposed bargaining unit at the Bessemer, Alabama warehouse was more than 5,000 workers, making it difficult for the retail, wholesale, and department store union to rally. Oh, that's the union? Making it difficult for the store union to rally enough people to call for a vote. But the board determined that the union had demonstrated enough support, said Terry D. Combs, assistant for the regional director to the NLRB's Atlanta region. Quote, we are administratively satisfied that the union has sufficient showing of interest to move forward, unquote, Combs said in an email Wednesday. Quote, we are currently working with both parties to mediate a negotiated stipulated election agreement setting forth the date and method of election. Workers at the warehouse notified the NLRB last month that they wanted to hold an election to create a bargaining unit that would cover 1,500 full-time and part-time workers represented by the RWDSU. A union vote would be a massive turn in the company that has long opposed the unionization of its U.S. workforce. I think every company opposes unionization. They don't like losing control. Seriously.
So we have to actually pay you a decent wage and not have you work for 70 hours a week?
What do you mean?
Bullshit.
Breaks?
We can't make any profit off of this. Hashtag small business.
I almost lost my bourbon.
Get back in your wagey cagey there.
Yeah.
No bathroom breaks for you.
Amazon spokesperson Heather Knox said the company's warehouses are safe. Amazon pays workers a minimum wage of $15 an hour with generous benefits, and it thinks the union doesn't represent, quote, the majority of employees' views. Knox declined to comment on the upcoming vote because they know damn well how it's going to go. 2 weeks ago, Amazon lost a round in its legal battle with the union when the labor board rejected the company's bid to delay the hearing on the union drive into January. The board instead scheduled the hearing for Friday. That's also the deadline it has given both sides to agree to election terms, such as when the vote will happen, whether it will be in person or by mail, and which workers will be included in the proposed bargaining unit. You've got to be careful with how these elections are laid out. Most unions will try to get it defined such that if somebody on your company rolls doesn't vote, it's an automatic agreement with the union. I might have personal experience with that.
Just a little hint, probably don't do it by mail. You know, shit tends to go a little sideways when there's mass mail-in ballots. Just saying.
Gee, you don't say.
When have we seen that recently? Oh,
I can't prove it, but I know a few things. Let's just say that.
Oh, God. The company and the union come to turn. If the company and the union come to terms before Friday, the board will cancel the hearing. Combs said, if not, the board will hold the hearing to resolve these outstanding issues. Given that that's tomorrow, I somehow doubt that they've come to an agreement. The size of the unit has been a point of contention by the initial filings of each side. Amazon counted that the union's initial filings seeking to establish a bargaining unit that would cover 1,500 full and part-time workers, saying the number should actually total 5,723. The labor board typically wants authorization cards to have been signed by at least 30% of the proposed negotiating unit before allowing a union vote, labor experts say. If the board has agreed with Amazon's employee count, that could mean roughly nearly 2,000 workers have signed those cards. If a successful union drive in Bessemer would mark a major turning point for labor at Amazon, which employs more than 1.1 million workers worldwide. I hadn't realized they'd gotten that many workers. Like, I knew they were big, but I also knew they were big into automation and IT work, so I didn't realize just how many people they had. I mean, it makes sense, you know, stuffing boxes, but still, you don't really think about that. The company has successfully fought off organized labor at its U.S. facilities, even as much of its European warehouse staff belongs to unions. The closest its U.S. warehouse workers got to union representation came in 2014 when a small group of equipment maintenance and repair technicians at the company's Middleton, Delaware warehouse voted on, but ultimately rejected union representation from the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers. Well, now that's a decent union. Why would you have...
Yeah. I'm going to go with their union rep was spending the night prior in a warehouse with his shoes drying around his feet.
Nah, that's not the way they usually do that. Have I ever told you my favorite story of how I saw a union member's soul completely crushed?
No, but I want to hear it.
Is this where I was working at a union?
It involved industrial crusher.
It involved this sweet old lady that made me cookies and a birthday cake.
That's what they get you.
I'm sitting around cashing checks, and...
This
nice dude comes in to cash his payroll check, and this sweet old lady looks at him and is like, oh, I used to do payroll for your company. You know how you didn't get a raise from 19-whatever to a decade later? And he's like, yeah? It's like, didn't you notice that your union rep got a new truck every year those years?
Oof.
So, management doesn't threaten. There's a hierarchy in unions that get paid a salary. That salary can be bumped up by, let's say, Amazon to get more favorable circumstances. And then the union, not really arguing as much for you as for the union. Several have given up paid holidays for the right to take union dues directly from your paycheck.
Ooh.
Not all of them do that, but unions are negotiating a union contract, not your contract. So some unions may do a better job for you than others, but if they're in a state, let's say, that requires union membership for everyone once a shop goes union, not a lot of incentive for them to go the extra mile for you. Because you're going to be part of the union if you're working for that industry or for that company.
Well,
yeah.
My union, when I worked for a grocery store company, that union didn't do very much for me. They couldn't even protect my wage. Like, what the fuck is the point of a union if you can't even do that basic task? So I don't
have much. They
protect
their wage, though.
Well, that's the thing. I don't have much love for unions, even decent ones. Like a United Auto Workers Union, you know, if they want to come into your company, be a little leery about it. But once they're in, if you're a member, they'll fucking take care of you. Other unions, not so much. So that just depends on the union.
And they tried to force me to join one.
Did they? How well did that work out?
Yeah. A left and a right, then a left, then I hit the ground. and they left me alone.
And decided it wasn't worth the effort.
So. Building unions, well, back when I was working in the industry, they were, they like to persuade the hard way to join. Mm. You generally get 2 to 3 union representation would come see you and urge you to join then and there. And if you didn't, then it got a little rough and tumbly.
My grandfather, how to tell this story. My grandfather ended up spending a week in the office because their union was not letting anybody in and out of the building while they were on strike.
Wow.
So
wow.
He decided it was safer to just live in the office for a week than to yeah. pass through that line. Because there yeah, were other unions. Members of their management who ended up in the hospital. I don't... The way the story is told, I don't remember them saying anybody died, but there were people who did have to go to the hospital. So he yeah. decided it was safer to wait them out.
I don't know if it's like that today, but it used to be pretty heavy-handed, especially in more physical labor unions, things like that, railway unions, dock unions.
Oh. Although one of my favorite union stories, actually it was a coal miners union in West Virginia, or no, Virginia, I think. Management decided they should de-unionize. So they hired crop dusters to drop bombs on union rallies.
Jesus.
Fair enough.
Damn.
So management can be assholes too.
Yeah.
Just a bit. God damn.
Well, considering I know what team I would rather be playing for. Yeah.
Hashtag no homo.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. That's a good call. fuck. I was thinking management versus labor. Well, obviously, you want to be in management. They make more money. I didn't even think about... Damn it. Next article. Rocket Snail. Next article. This is from Ars Technica. Evil mobile emulator farms used to steal millions from U.S. and EU bank accounts. This is where they're taking advantage of the fact that the mobile apps are usually less secure than the straight-up websites. So they're just emulating Android phones, for the most part, on computers. As opposed to the picture everyone always likes to send around of, you know, like the wall of cell phones. They're saying, oh, look, they're click farming or doing reviews. And it's like, yeah, they don't even bother with that anymore. Now they just emulate them. So,
cheaper.
Probably. Researchers from IBM Trusteer says they've uncovered a massive fraud operation that used a network of mobile device emulators to drain millions of dollars from online bank accounts in a matter of days. The scale of the operation was unlike anything the researchers have seen before. In one case, crooks used about 20 emulators to mimic more than 16,000 phones belonging to customers whose mobile bank accounts had been compromised. In a separate case, a single emulator was able to spoof more than 8,100 devices. It was actually 8,173 devices they spoofed in a single emulator. Wow. So they're not even bothering to regenerate the VM. They're just going in and changing the IMI and going on to the next one. Fuck.
Not even mad at this point, you know?
The thieves then entered usernames and passwords belonging to bank apps running on the emulators and initiated fraudulent money transfers that siphoned funds out of compromised accounts. Emulators are used by legitimate developers and researchers to test how apps run on a variety of different mobile devices. Also, when you're writing apps, they're pretty handy. But to bypass protection, I actually have used emulators to test shit too, just because a lot of things don't check their apps nearly as hard as they check an actual website. So, just something to keep in mind. To bypass protections banks use to block such attacks, the crook used device identifiers, corresponding to each compromised account holder, and spoofed GPS locations the device was known to use. The device IDs were likely obtained from holders' hacked devices, although in some cases fraudsters gave the appearance that they were the customers who were accessing their accounts from new phones. The attackers were also able to bypass multi-factor authentication by accessing SMS messages. This mobile fraud operation managed to automate the process of accessing accounts, initiating a transaction, receiving and stealing a second factor, SMS in this case, and in many cases using these codes to complete illicit transactions. IBM Trusteer researchers, Shanshar Griezmann and Limor Kesem wrote in a post. The data sources, scripts, and customized applications the gang created flowed into one automated process that provided speed that allowed them to rob millions of dollars from each victimized bank within a matter of days. Each time the crook successfully drained an account, they would retire the spoofed device so that accessed the account and replace it with a new one. Attackers also cycled through devices in the event they were rejected by a bank's anti-fraud system. Over time, IBM Trusteer saw the operators launch distinct attack legs. After one was over, the attackers would shut down the operation, wipe data traces, and begin a new one. So they got this shit down, is what they're saying.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Again, it comes back to being careful about what you install on your phone, if you use a phone. Being careful about what you do with your bank passwords and, you know, I mean, that's when you raise the question of, you know, if you're relying on SMS, there's been several people several reports that said SMS verification isn't really good enough anymore. So, yeah, a lot of people like using the tokens that are generated by your phone, too. But again, your phones can be compromised, so I kind of feel like, you know, physical tokens are probably still the way to go right now. As much as that sucks. Let's see, we're at 52 minutes. Does anybody care about Google's officially supporting Chrome OS on old PCs?
No.
Story dropped.
Not really.
Fuck Chrome.
Well, fuck Google. I mean, you know, it's not a bad use of an old PC, except for the fact that it's Chrome.
So. Yeah. I mean, at that point, just throw Linux on it.
Yep.
It's a shame all that RAM you had isn't used anymore.
It paid for all this RAM. I'm going to use all this RAM.
Yeah, exactly. On Chrome. All
right. Well, good fucking luck. I've got 48 gigs in this rig.
Have you seen my tab count?
I don't do that. I close tabs when I'm done with them. I don't know. I see lots of people doing that where it's like, have you heard of bookmarks? They are a thing. It's like, no, I just keep 500 tabs open at all times. The fuck?
It's almost the equivalent of digital hoarding. Yeah. You think?
It's like when you look at somebody's desktop and their screen is covered in icons. It's like, it's like, what are you doing? Well, those aren't even programs. Then. Those are Word documents.
So what
copy of Word.exe
and passwords.xl. It's like, really? It's on the tip of the penis. I mean,
and fuck, stop working on your plastic stuff. And BSV, you had something to say.
So Fox, what happens when the power goes out or you have to
restore from previous session?
So in other words, it's restore from previous session and hope for the best.
Yep. And don't get too drunk and fuck up and close a session, you know, right after you've restarted your computer and like, oh, fuck, that was now the latest session. Now I have to go dig in the fucking
history.
Oh,
well, no, it's not in the history. There's actually like a backup of the prior session. You can go pull from like the Firefox like app data directory somewhere. May or may not have had to do that a couple times.
So are you cleaning up a 3D print or giving yourself a manicure there, Fox?
Cleaning up a 3D print.
That's what I was wondering.
I was hoping it wasn't coming through the mic unless I was talking, but...
The last time my cooler blew up and put liquid all over the machine, it was in between a huge session of... it was the first time, actually. I was doing a massive audio clip session, so I had fucking the whole desktop... on both screens with just clips, audio clips,
save for desktop.
and it died that night, well, that next morning, and I took it in, and then when they reboot it, they're like, oh, dear Jesus. I'm like, no, man, I was editing audio. My desktop does not look like that normally. That was just because I had... Yeah.
Sure.
you would hate my desktop, man. It's full of text files.
Yeah.
At 20, 30 text files, just with URLs in them.
I mean, I do the whole URLs and text files too, but usually I throw them on my file server so I can get at them. But 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I have a problem when it comes to multiple devices. And that's just on my desk.
Yeah.
That's not even counting the 4 laptops, 3 Commodore 64s, and I think there's an Amiga in that bin somewhere that are under the table over there.
Well, there's only 2 requirements to join Galaxy 15. One, you have to have a chronic alcohol issue, and you must hoard tech. It seems to be the common theme here.
Oh,
you don't have to have a chronic alcohol problem when you join, but
you'll have one.
The month, you're going to have one.
It does help.
But I'm going to use that computer chip from my cell phone from 2005. That's going to be useful, right?
You never know, man.
Eventually.
You never know.
I still got a Nokia 5160 floating around somewhere. I mean, that I can't shred it or anything like that. It's indestructible.
Well, dude, that's only if you run out of ammunition. You can throw that at the fucking intruder.
Oh, that's a good call.
Well, I figured I could just make it ring and scream Aloha Snack Bar and I'll scare him away.
Well, you know, eventually anything gets old enough that it becomes retro, and then you can put it on eBay for way more than it's worth.
Yeah.
So, anyways, last article I have for you tonight. Simp and incel are newly banned insults on Twitch.
And virgin.
As part of a crackdown on, quote, sexually forced terms, unquote, on its platform. Twitch says terms like simp, incel, and virgin will soon be banned when used as insults by streamers or chatters on the popular game streaming service. In a live stream town hall presented yesterday, Twitch COO Sarah Clemens said that the terms would be barred specifically when used in the context that, quote, negatively refers to another person's sexual activity. Twitch later clarified in a statement that using these terms on their own wouldn't lead to an enforcement action, but we would take action if they were used repeatedly in a harassing manner. That largely mirrors Twitch's existence. Yeah, there's nothing else here. It's just Twitch is banning these words, and it's funny. I
mean, well, the ban worked for all of 30 seconds till the word simp was replaced by Simpsons. all they did was spell virgin a different way. And, yeah.
I mean, this is just another big... This is just another tech company trying to control how you think by controlling your language.
I mean, exactly.
Remember when being called special was a compliment? Then they decided calling people retard was wrong? Now do you want to be called special at school?
I prefer to call them short bus enthusiasts.
Window lickers.
The schnozberries taste like schnozberry. Anyways, a movie I haven't seen in a bit. I need to go watch that again.
Language. Oh no, it's Christmas. It's time for Die Hard.
I did that 2 nights ago.
Well, now Die Hard 2 then.
No, I'm going to do Lethal Weapon tonight.
Mm. But that's not a Christmas film, is it?
Yes, it is. The original Lethal Weapon's a Christmas film.
Oh, yeah. They go through
he gets invited
in
for Christmas.
The Christmas tree thing.
Yeah.
The Christmas tree salesman just before they jump off the building.
Yeah. And, like, you guys all know that Lethal Weapon is not a comedy. It was never written as a comedy. It's meant to be a very depressing tragedy with a better ending. It's just the audience took it as they thought it was a comedy. But Riggs is actually seriously depressed and actually wants to eat his gun. It's a redemption arc. But yeah, audiences thought it was hilarious, so they wrote it as a comedy on the second and third one. But if you actually watch it seriously, it's a redemption arc of a man trying to kill himself at Christmas time because his wife's dead, his family is destroyed, and he has nothing left to live for.
Well, that's like Neuromancer. That was supposed to be a horror book, not an inspiration.
1984 wasn't supposed to be an instruction manual?
Nope. Turns out Brave New World was, though. So,
but if we're going to do film, I was going to do this at the end of the show, but I'll do it now. Everyone want to check out a, it's, you're going to have to read it. I don't think there's an English dub for it, but it's worth it. A movie called Another Round. It's about a bunch of high school teachers that decide to do a research paper to see if life would be better buzzed on alcohol 24 hours a day.
Yes.
So they continue their entire jobs, everything like that, by maintaining a blood alcohol level of 0.05.
How can I sign up for this study?
I mean, so it's, yes.
It's called Another Round. I don't know if it's out yet, but it's worth going to be worth having a look at.
All right.
It's my movie for the year.
Let's do this. I got two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo, and they're both pretty good. The first one is, I mean, I believe it because I know enough about how these systems work to understand that this is a thing and you could do it. But at the same time, holy shit. It's called System Bus Radio, and it's a demo that somebody has put together of rapidly switching a RAM chip fast enough to generate AM radio. Specifically on a 2015 model MacBook Air,
and what, that they what drugs were they on? Where there's like, can I?
They were trying to solve how do I exfiltrate data from an air gapped system, and they said I will use the RAM as a radio transceiver.
That's actually pretty clever.
So, pretty much they have this demo that they've already got a pre-built version of it you can just download, but they've got a demo that at least on a 2015 model MacBook Air using a Sony STRK670P radio receiver with the included antenna, and they basically laid the antenna pretty close to the laptop. In fact, in the technical explanation, they're talking about putting the antenna like basically on the keyboard of the laptop to pick it up. They tuned it to 1580 kilohertz on AM. Hit run, and it played Mary Had a Little Lamb over the fucking radio from the memory chips.
Wow.
Now, is this terribly useful? And no, not really. But my God, is that awesome.
Proof of concept, man.
Right?
Yeah. It's fucking terrifying. But as a proof of concept, it's genius.
And they've got a pretty good explanation of what's going on here, where they're basically using system calls to directly control the timing of the memory to be able to create the interference they need for an AM radio. And in most of the demos of it, the antenna has to be basically laid right on the keyboard. But that's still enough to exfil data if you know how to do it. So, but I love that it's down to the point of this model of MacBook, this model of radio, and it works. But, I mean, and he's got a pre-compiled version of it, but here's the source code right here. Using counters and threads or using a MMStream SI128 command to do it. But, yeah, it's basically by controlling when the signal hits the memory, you know, through precise timing and writing specific data to different parts of the memory bus, they're able to transmit AM radio. That's awesome. I mean, so, and this is the last thing I have for you in Digital Dojo tonight. Psychro sent me this the other day on the subreddit. It's a Chrome add-in, well, Chrome and Firefox add-in that you're not going to find in any of the official plugin repos for obvious reasons. It's called Bypass Paywalls.
I'd like to know more.
And there's your link. Basically, they've got a list of about, looks like maybe 100 or so websites, including Wall Street Journal, New York Times, the Sydney Morning Herald, The Australian, What else we got? Star Tribune, Quora, Quartz, Medium. Of basically getting you around the paywalls. They're basically, they're taking advantage of a lot of these sites that let you have so many, you know, free articles. So it's clearing out your cache specifically for these sites so that it always thinks you're on the first one.
They should have to do it manually.
Yeah. So this one's for Chrome, but I think they've got a version up for Firefox as well. Where you download the zip from GitHub and you have to manually install it as an unsigned extension, and it's going to complain at you that it's an unsigned extension.
I think I'll just keep doing it manually than dealing with fucking firewall issues.
Every time you open Chrome, it may warn you about running extensions in developer mode. You have to actually click the little X. You can't hit anything else on the box, otherwise it turns it off. You have to be logged out of any site you're looking at. It works best if you're also using something like uBlock. And the Firefox, oh, they've got automatic updates working on the Firefox version. That's nice. But, yeah, so they've got some explanations here on new site requests and troubleshooting and some things like that. But still, it's a cool idea. And, gee, I wonder why this isn't in any of the official plugin repos.
It's a mystery.
Oh, it's a mystery to everybody. Or, no, what's the Zelda quote? It's a secret to everybody. All right, BSV, closing thoughts.
I don't know. Make sure not to burn down the buildings if you return your Christmas presents. I don't know.
I'm wondering what kind of Christmas presents BSV gets that burning down the building is a risk just by returning them.
Well, most of them seem to be picking up presents for their Christmas shopping by burning places down, so I figured they'd do the same when they return the present.
Loot it again, but this time you're just leaving the shit.
That's some really enhanced shopping right there.
Yes.
All right, Fox. Closing thoughts.
Well, when you can make a Mark Zuckerberg in Cyberpunk 2077 that looks more human than the real Mark Zuckerberg, I, for one, welcome our new robot overlords.
I've played Cyberpunk 2077. I'm going to go ahead and admit there's only three options on the penis size. They don't have micro dick in there, so I don't know how realistic you're going to make your
Well, I thought there was an option for none, so...
Yeah.
Isn't that close enough?
I mean, sure, why not?
Depends on how big the clitoris was.
China.
Are you sure? I'm betting that's photoshopped, dude.
No, I mean,
there were several. There were several character creator photoshops floating around for Cyberpunk. So, the Peter Griffin was fake. I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with any video game that has select your penis size that isn't a porn game.
Any game's a porn game if you're brave enough.
Wow. Okay then.
If you can turn Limbo into a porn game, you are a sick motherfucker.
Fox, closing thoughts.
I thought those were my closing thoughts.
Okay. Madman, who we should also comment was recently named our chief political analyst for Galaxy 15. Closing thoughts.
Oh, that was a bad choice. Back to you, Jim. In a dumpster fire, rolled into one. I think some of them have blue hair.
All right, are you take us out?
All right, a little homework for the kiddies over the Christmas break while you're out there, especially those who are using Apple or Apple products. Your task is to get an image of Xi Jinping, do something creative with it, and try and upload it to Apple's images. See if you can get away with it. I would like to see it. There's apparently, if you have an iPhone or anything like that, you search for Xi Jinping's image, there is no images found on Apple. That's how hard they are protecting their ant overlords.
On Apple.
Winnie the Pooh isn't on Apple anymore?
From what I was reading last night. I don't know. I don't own an Apple product, so I couldn't test it myself.
Here, I've got an iPad in front of me. What am I doing now?
Searching
for Winnie the Pooh.
Xi Jinping, yeah. Or any meme of Xi Jinping. And if you want to reverse that, throw a meme up for, Kim Jong-un. Or Russia's president, Vladimir.
Wikipedia page has come
riding
up.
A bear eating people.
I mean, I'm just am I not supposed to use Safari? What am I supposed to use here?
I don't know, man. I didn't have a thing, and I don't have the article in front of me. I just thought it'd be creative.
I mean, if I do Xi Jinping memes, okay, some things come up, but you're right. This does look a little clean. Oh, that's right. I enabled some shit. It's like, I'm not seeing all the normal ads you would see, but that's right. I turned on a bunch of ad block on this iPad. So this might not be fair because I've put some things on here. Never mind. That might be cheating. That's all we've got for this week. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on peer decking every Thursday, except for next week. Well, this is the last show of the year. So Second or third week of January when we decide there's shit worth talking about. Because here's the fun thing. A lot of a system and hacks and shit like that are going to happen this time of year because it's when everyone is taking vacation time. But we're not going to see stories about it until a couple of weeks in when all the damn reporters come back for vacation for the holidays. So
really grasping using the word reporter.
Blogger.
Just saying. Man. Yeah, there you go.
purple-haired, screaming nincompoop. They're not going to be anybody writing this shit up for us to talk about for a couple of weeks. So it's not that things aren't happening. It's that it's not going to get reported because everybody's off, getting mad at people saying Merry Christmas to them on the street. But you say Merry Christmas, and they say, no, Joe Biden won! I'm like, wait, what? So,
have that happened? Please tell me that's happened.
Kind of. Anyways, it was a work thing, and I think they were making a joke, but it didn't come across that way. So, anyways, that's all we've got for this week. Of course, in the IRC tonight, myself, Sardonyx, Cyberlord, Psychros, and the Coffee Maker. I did the IRC, the subreddit, the main website. I've lost track. I've fucked up the closing. Merry Christmas.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Downsco nose down and call the night.
Shut up, Wesley.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animals.